Please be seated. As we continue in our series, Looking at the Church, I want to revisit a passage that I preached on back in April last year. We were looking at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and so we turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As we think about the church, as we've been considering what the church is and now how it's growing, we've seen that it grows through the sacraments, it grows through discipline, but the church also grows through using the gifts that God has given. It grows through every member using their gifts. Paul describes the church as one body with many parts. And this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, it gives us the instruction that we need so that we might know how we are to grow as one body with many members, each using the variety of gifts that God has given to us and using them in a variety of ways. I should say that when we come to this topic on gifts, there's obviously a wide range of opinions on what gifts are still around and still relevant for the church today. If you remember back to last year, I'd said that we can divide gifts into three broad categories. That there's the gift of signs, those spectacular gifts that God had given to the early church. There's gifts of speaking. And then the third category is gifts of serving. The gifts of speaking and serving remain in the church throughout all ages. But if you very quickly look at chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians and verses 8 to 10, it says in verse 10 that the partial will pass away. The partial refers to what is mentioned in verse 9. Prophesying in part, knowing in part, that there's something that God was giving to the church that would pass away. They were the more remarkable gifts, as we might call them, the gifts of signs. And when the perfect comes, they won't be necessary anymore. We now have the full revelation of God's word. God's word is complete. We don't need new revelation. And in fact, there won't be new revelation because God says it is all here. What has come is complete. And so those more spectacular gifts, the gifts of signs, aren't needed anymore. We have God's full, revealed, inspired word. We do still have, however, the gifts of speaking and gifts of serving. And Paul is saying that these are also spiritual gifts. And when we properly understand and we properly exercise our gifts, they will always promote unity and fellowship and growth in the church. The church is built up and strengthened when we are using our spiritual gifts, when we're using what God has graciously given to us. When we use our gifts, the church grows. On the other hand, when we start to neglect our gifts, or when we start exalting one gift over the other as a mark of Christian maturity, as the Corinthians were doing, we find that the church doesn't grow as it should be doing. But the church is strengthened as each one of us uses the gifts that God has given that we might serve King Jesus. For our consideration this morning, we're going to be focusing on verse 7. This is our key verse in 1 Corinthians 12. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And Paul this morning is telling us that God has given a variety of gifts, and each member in the church has at least one gift, and that is for the purpose of the good and the strengthening and the upbuilding of the church. A diversity of gifts, but unity of fellowship. Let's think about the church being strengthened through spiritual gifts. And we see firstly that these gifts have been given by God. These gifts have been given by God. Our key verse, to each is given. But go back to verse 1. Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts. And then in verse 4 we have again the word gifts in our English translations. The word in verse 1 is different. The word in verse 1 could be translated as concerning spiritual things or concerning spiritual people. I think it's spiritual people. Concerning these people, concerning the church members, Paul says, I want you to know something about spiritual people. Verse 2, this is who you used to be. You used to be pagans. You used to be outside the church. You used to be led astray. This is who they used to be. But now they're spiritual. A change has taken place in their life. God has worked graciously and changed them. They now have a new focus. Verse 3. That these new spiritual people, those saved by Christ, they can now declare Jesus is Lord. They can, of course, only do this because the Holy Spirit is living in them. God has opened up their eyes and their hearts. They have a new voice, a new song, and a new focus. Paul's saying, because you are Christ's, you are spiritual people. Each and every one of you. The Spirit is living in you. Now, because you're spiritual people, let me tell you about the spiritual gifts you have. So Paul picks up in verse 4. Now there are a variety of gifts to his church. God has given a variety of gifts to his church. The word gift in verse 4, as I said, it's different to the word gift in verse 1. This word in verse 4 is where we get the word charisma or charismatic from. It's a grace that God has given to the church. That's what the word grace is in the Greek, charis. It's charis. It's God has given grace. And as spiritual people, as Christ's people, God has given you a grace. A grace that you are to use. We sang about that in Psalm 68. God has given to his church. And I want you to notice about what God has given, that these gifts are firstly a variety of gifts. They're multicolored. God has given different kinds of grace gifts, spiritual gifts, that there's a broad spectrum. Spiritual people, that is Christ's people, have a variety of grace gifts. That's what verse 7 is saying, our key verse. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit. The problem with the church in Corinth, if you remember back to last year, is that they were saying to be counted a spiritual person, you really have to have the gift of tongues. And if you don't have that, then you're not really a spiritual person. In fact, you may not even be a Christian if you don't have the greatest of all gifts. And Paul's saying, rubbish. That's not the case at all. You each in Christ are a spiritual person. And God has given you a manifestation of the Spirit. God has given you a spiritual gift of some sort. There's a wide variety in these. They're wide-ranging. Paul says in this chapter, it would be wrong to say that one gift is greater than another gift. It would be wrong to say that because you can't stand up and speak, you're not mature. Or because you don't show hospitality, you're not a mature Christian. Paul says that's not the case. We each have different gifts, given in different measures. But they are given by God. There's variety in what God gives. And it's not just variety in the gifts that God has given. But secondly, there's a variety of places where we can exercise that gift. Look at verse 5. Varieties of service. Varieties of service. This is, sorry to talk about the Greek words so much, but it's important here. This is where we get the word deacons from. This word service, it's a word that refers to paying out over tables, but it really means the everyday serving, your everyday living. There's varieties of everyday serving that you're involved in. And God has given these activities. God has provided these for you in the places where you are. Where God has you day to day, your everyday living for Jesus Christ. God has given a variety of gifts, and He's given a variety of places where those gifts are to be used. There's thirdly a variety of workings, that is the effects that come from our gifts at the beginning of verse 6. Varieties of activities. That's really the end product, the effect of using our gift. It's God being pleased to work out how we are using our gifts to bring about the activity or the end result that God Himself is bringing about. And God has given that. Our gifts produce different results. Our gifts are used for different things, different activities. Different gifts used in different places, different areas of serving to bring about different activities or results that God has planned and prepared for us. Our gifts can be used to strengthen, to rebuke, to convict, to draw someone to Christ, to support a discouraged Christian. There's a variety of workings, of activities, of results. But of course, we shouldn't be surprised at this diversity or variety that God has given, because it reflects God Himself. We look around at creation. Look at the variety of animals and plants and birds. God is a God of variety. God loves diversity because He's created diversity. He's put it into creation. But more than that, it's reflected in the Trinity. Look at verses 4 to 6. God the Spirit gives gifts. God the Son, the Lord, in verse 5, gives service. God the Father, verse 6, gives the results. Paul isn't saying that each one only does that function. But what he is making clear is that just as it is reflected in the Trinity, just as diversity and variety is reflected in the very nature of God Himself, so God has given gifts to the church. A wide variety and diversity that suit us each differently, to be used in different places, in different ways, to bring about different goals and purposes that God has in place. And it reflects God Himself. God has given these gifts. But then secondly, each one of us has at least one gift. Each one of us has at least one gift. Look at the end of verse 6 into verse 7. God, who empowers them all in everyone, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Every believer has some gift, one type or another. The Spirit of God has implanted a gift in you. You have some grace and strength given to you that God has provided that you are to then use in the right way. Now, perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, well, I don't really have any gift. I'm not a speaker, not talented. I'm shy and quiet. Maybe you think of yourself, I'm fairly useless compared to other Christians. Well, Paul is saying, wait a minute, you're spiritual people, and God has given a gift. And do you not realize that there's a wide variety of these gifts, and he has given at least one gift to you? And there's different places where these gifts are to be used. And God brings about different results or activities from these gifts. God has given to each one. That means that God has chosen you specifically for a certain gift or gifts of his grace. And you are then to use that gift in service of Jesus Christ. Then you might say, well, what are these gifts? Well, the New Testament gives us at least 20 different gifts. And they're just examples. Several places where we come across lists of gifts. We read from Romans chapter 12 earlier. There's a list there. In Romans 12, you can go back and look at that. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at that chapter when we come to consider elders. But in Ephesians chapter 4, we have a list of gifts. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. It tells us that each has received a gift. They're to use it to serve one another. And then there's a list of gifts. Here in 1 Corinthians 12. If you've time this afternoon, look at those lists. But what I want you to notice is the lists don't match up. That is, not every gift is mentioned in every list. Sometimes the gifts are repeated. There's some gifts mentioned in some of the lists, but not in others. And there's a reason for that. The reason being, it's not an exhaustive list. God has given a wide variety of gifts. Also, no gift is greater than any other gift. No list is complete for that reason. And as we go through the New Testament and even the Old Testament, we can find other gifts. God is saying to us, what I have given to you is wide and varied. And I want you to go and I want you to live your life where I have you placed. And I want you serving there, using the gifts that I have given to you. And I will bring about the results. I will bring about the different activities. It might be a gift of serving, hospitality, a gift of encouragement. It might be a gift for teaching, a gift for administration. It might be a gift for using your hands, a gift for preaching, a gift for understanding, a gift for comforting. And we could go on and on. And you maybe have more than one gift. You might have the same gift as someone else, although maybe you have it in less measure than someone else. But still, every spiritual person, every member of Jesus Christ has a gift given by God. Look at verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12. He has apportioned to each one individually as he wills. If you're a Christian, God has chosen you to serve Jesus Christ and to put into practice the gift of grace that he's given to you. To each, in verse 7, our key verse, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. We each have at least one gift that we're to use. And then we're told the purpose of the gift. In verse 7, it's for the common good. The purpose of these gifts is for the good of the church. These gifts are for the good of the church. This comes out in chapter 12. Paul speaks about, in verses 4 to 9, the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. Our key verse, verse 7, given for the common good. It's the same God who gives these gifts, and he's given them for a purpose. His reasoning and his ultimate purpose is for the good of the church, for the upbuilding of the church. Paul then gives this illustration in verses 12 to 31, the illustration that we were thinking about with the children, the illustration of the body. God has given us our gift for the benefit of the people of God, for the church, for the good of the body. Each member is different, but each member is used for the good of the body. Look at verse 14. The body does not consist of one member, but of many. Sometimes we might think, if only everyone in the church was like me, it'd be a much better... Not like me. I'm saying you think to yourselves, if every member was like you, the church would be a much better place. But it wouldn't. It would be horribly grotesque and out of proportion. God has given each one of us different gifts, different abilities. God uses each one of us in different ways, different purposes. But it's all functioning together for the good of the church. We need this diversity so that we can serve together with one purpose, one goal. We need this variety to work as one body for the glory of Jesus Christ, that the head of the body. The gifts are for the good of the church, for the common good. God has you here for the good of the church, for the common good. Now you might be asking, well, what is my gift? How do I know if what I'm doing is a grace gift from God? And how is it being used for the common good? Well, here are some questions to help. You can ask yourself, are people being helped by what I'm doing? Are they being helped? Am I able to serve Christ's people with what I'm doing? Is the church being strengthened? Is Christ Jesus being declared by the things I'm doing? If by your encouraging, you're strengthening the church, then encouragement would be a gift that you have. If you're building up the church by your hospitality, then that's a gift. If children are learning more about Christ from you, then you have a gift of teaching. In your place of work, wherever that might be, if you're able to show the love of Christ, or if you're able to speak to others of Christ, then that's a gift. There are a variety of gifts used in a variety of places, but all for the common good. Perhaps this morning you're thinking, well, the church would be better off without me. I don't contribute much, not very useful, I don't think I'd fit in, not as gifted as others, My gifts just seem so limited to someone else who seems to have the same gift. Well, that would be like the foot saying, I'm not a hand, therefore I don't belong. Just because you don't have the same gifts as someone else, or just because you don't have the same gifts in the same measure as someone else, doesn't mean you don't belong. Just because you feel inadequate, or you aren't sure what your grace gift is, doesn't mean that you should just stop coming to church or being involved in the fellowship. When you're not here, and you're not serving, it's like missing a part of the body. God gives these gifts. God apportions His grace as He wills. And He does it for the good of His body, the body of Christ Jesus. And so that's why we need everyone serving. That's why we need people giving themselves time and their energy. God has provided you with gifts to use in your everyday life. You're a hand, you're a foot, you're an eye or an ear of this body out in society. You can go to places where I can't go. You can speak to people and minister to people that others can't get to speak to and minister to. And God has equipped you. And He empowers you to serve in the places where He has you, the places He has prepared for you. So we should never think we're not needed or that we're not involved. We need fellowship, serving together, the grace, gifts that God has given, using those gifts, all for the good of the church. We must remember, we're not all apostles, not all prophets, not all teachers, not all work miracles, not all possess gifts of healing, or speaking in tongues, or interpreting. But as Paul says, we are all members of the one body. We're called to use our gifts as God has apportioned them to us. So what happens if we're not using our gifts? Well, like a body, if one part isn't functioning as it should, it weakens and it stunts the growth of the whole body. But the spiritual person, the one who calls Christ Lord, they should be ready to serve with whatever gift has been given to them. And if you're not sure of your gift, my advice would be try something. Try anything. Go and serve. Give of yourself. If something doesn't suit you, somebody will either tell you soon enough or you'll find out for yourself and you can then redirect your energy. Give yourself. When every member is using their gift, we find the church is strengthened. The church is growing as the body of Christ. There's a variety of gifts, variety of service, but all for the unity and the growth of the church of Christ. Amen.